while you are a teacher, it's important to listen and learn as well. And that students, you'd be surprised at how much students know actually where they want to go with the music. And they might say, hey, I want to play this piece. And it might not be on the curriculum, but give it a go. Let them explore a bit, because I think that music is a joy and it's as I said, a creative outlet. And if you can just be a bit more flexible and realize that it's their journey, not yours, I think it will be a wonderful outcome, and it will generate itself. It will generate so much pleasure for everyone involved.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to 2017. This is episode number 73 of the newly branded Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thanks so much for listening and all your support in the last year and a half or so. I can't believe it's been going on that long. My name is Tim Topham, and I'm the teacher behind the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast and also the teaching resources at timtopham.com and also the Inner Circle Piano Teaching Community. So for those of you who have been listening for a while, you'll certainly notice that I've rebranded the podcast. We've got a new intro, definitely a new name, a new image. And I hope all of this reflects the content that I'm putting together for you this year. I'm very passionate about supporting creative piano teaching, which basically means helping you to feel more comfortable exploring a non-classical approach to teaching, which I know will resonate really well with your students. And not just resonate and motivate them, but also hopefully, if we do everything right, help them to continue playing music for the rest of their life. Whether it's through podcasts like this one, the hundreds of articles on my blog, the training courses, downloads, and lesson plans, or the benefits of membership of my community, the goal here is the same. I'm going to hold your hand when you need it. I'll push you along and give you a heap of great ideas. We'll streamline your business and productivity and help you set and achieve goals. And ultimately, we want to help you provide the richest, most exciting, and fun learning experiences possible for your students. That's my goal for this podcast and everything that I do online and in person at events. So to find out more about my Inner Circle community, you can head to timtopham.com/community. And remember that podcast listeners get $100 off an annual membership. And you can find out all the links for today, the coupon code that you would need for that, at the show notes, which you can find if you type into a browser, timtopham.com/episode73. So today's episode is really about setting the scene for the year and taking you through my 5 reasons to get more creative in your piano teaching, and also some ideas about how to do it, because I want to make this as practical as possible for you. This podcast episode actually kicks off my Classically Trained to Creatively Curious month on the blog and podcast. So I'm really focusing this month, this is February 2017, depending on when you're listening to this, all on setting the scene for creativity, which is my real passion and the thing that I want to help people most with, because I know of the impact. And we're going to talk about all of that today. Now, I do have a freebie for you today, which is a downloadable that you can use in your lesson. And the freebie is 20 simple ways to add creativity to any piano lesson. So this is literally a list of my 20 top tips for adding creativity to any lesson. And this is stuff that you can do whether you've actually explored any of this or not. The ideas range from things that you can do with absolutely no resources and with any student to things that require some resources or maybe an app. And also I'll give you links to other resources to help with these. So that's my 20 simple ways to add creativity to any lesson. And that is downloadable from timtopham.com/episode73. That's where the show notes are. And that's where the download link for this is. Plus, at the bottom of that sheet, I'm actually going to give you an action step and some space to fill out something to really make sure you get the most out of today's episode. So do grab that freebie when you're next on your computer. So let's get into it. Why am I so passionate about a creative approach to piano teaching? This year, I really refined my mission on the blog and the podcast, and that is to really help with this concept of creativity. And I know that people need help with this because there has been a good 200 years of piano teaching that's been very much focused on the classical tradition. And there's obviously fantastic merits in that approach. And it's obviously working because there's plenty of students who are playing at incredibly high levels, levels I would only dream of being able to play at. Unfortunately, though, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the world is changing and kids are changing. And so the ability for us to keep as many students engaged as possible now means we need to be more flexible. We need to be open to different approaches. And that's what I want to help you with, really helping keep your students engaged and thriving, and ultimately to help more of them keep playing music for the rest of their lives. That's what we want, right? We want more musicians in this world. That can only be a good thing. And we already know how much of an impact learning a musical instrument has on the actual brain chemistry of students. It helps them in all their endeavors. And there's plenty of research out there, which I won't go into about that. So we're doing everything right as long as our students keep learning and keep playing music. And that's what a creative approach can help you with. How many of you hear when you're asked what you do for a living, other adults saying, oh, if only I'd kept on playing? I get it all the time when people find out that I'm a piano teacher. Oh, I wish I hadn't quit, or oh, I had this horrible teacher, or you know the stories. We've all heard them over and over. Have you ever stopped to think, why have they stopped playing? Is it because they were forced to go and really just hated it from the start? Is it because they were bored? Is it because they finished their exams, got to grade eight, and that was, you know, that was it. That was all they needed to do. So we'll stop. Or was it because they didn't click with their teacher? Anytime you're asked or you get asked what you do and an adult say this to you, I want you to ask them, why did you quit? And find out what the answer was. I've recently received some contact from a couple of people about their experience. And I just want to read them out to you. Hi, Tim. This is an email from Tracy. She says, I'm returning to piano teaching after a 15-year break. Things have changed a lot in those 15 years, and I am new to integrating technology into my teaching. Also, I was classically trained, and as I wish that I was taught to play by ear and improvise, I'm making an effort now to include it for my students. It means becoming more confident in myself. I'm looking forward to learning from your blog and online community. I get these kind of emails a lot. And it's the kind of thing that makes me really positive about what I do, because I know that it's having an impact. And that's why this whole concept of helping classically trained teachers, and that may well be you that I'm speaking to right now, is something that I really want to do more of. Here's another email that I got, and this is from Paul. I'm not a teacher, but I'm a 66-year-old beginner. I've been learning for about 8 years. Here's what's frustrating. I'm studying for grade 5 exam, Australian Music Board exams over here, but I can't really play the pieces I learnt from the earlier grades, nor can I sit down at the piano and improvise, accompany a singer, or work out a popular song. So it becomes a lot of hard work for little reward, at least for the moment. And isn't that so sad that the learning that he's been given over the last 8 years hasn't allowed him yet to be able to sit down at the piano and just play something? And I think that's where piano teaching lets down so many students. Being able to work out a popular song by ear, you know, being able to encourage students to play things by ear, it's just so important. And I want you to actually now listen to a quick interview that I did with a friend I met at a party. So this happens to be a friend of a friend, and we got talking. The same question came up. What do you do? I said, I'm a piano teacher, and have a listen to her story. This is Tiffany. Tiffany, thanks for joining me today. We met at a barbecue a couple of weeks ago, and I was just saying in my podcast before this that one of the things that happens when people ask me what I do and I say I'm a piano teacher, most adults then go, oh, I wish I kept playing the piano, or I learned piano for ages and then I stopped. So can you just tell us quickly, what do you do today? What's your job?
Sure, Tim. I'm a lawyer. I'm a commercial lawyer. So that keeps me occupied for a lot of my working hours.
I bet it does. But you did tell me that you did learn piano when you were younger.
Did.
So tell us about that.
I did. So I actually started probably, I would have been in kindergarten or grade one. And my mother was very passionate about music, and she started me off on the piano. And it was something that I just loved. It was a real creative avenue for me at a very young age to mix with the academia. And we started off on just a casual basis, so I wouldn't be intimidated by exams. But then I approached my mother and I said I'd really like to start grading. And we did so. So the focus was very much then on, you know, moving up to the grades.
Yep. Yeah. Why did you choose to do exams?
I've always been one of those people that likes to feel a sense of achievement. And if it was just always on a casual basis, we could always try harder music. But with a grading system, I found that I was having a goal. I could actually really feel like, you know, every year or every couple of years, I was moving up and that I had something to measure it by.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good reason for people to use exams. Motivator. When it works like that, it's good. So how much do you play piano now?
Truth be told, Tim, I would say once or twice a year, if that. Unfortunately, it was something that while I did reach approximately, I would say about grade five equivalent, after I realised I was not a virtuoso or a natural at the piano, that it did take quite a bit of work. I made the decision to follow academia and that meant giving some things up. So it sort of died a natural death like that. And, of course, when I moved out of the family home, the piano was gone.
Yeah.
So even though I've had sort of electric pianos and things, it was sad actually whenever I visit, you know, some of the concert halls and things, and I see that grand piano standing there, I do think, what if I kept going?
Well, the big question that I've then got is, do you think that if you had the skill, if your teacher gave you the skills to just be able to make stuff up on the piano or be able to play stuff more by ear and things, would you be more likely today, do you think, to still be playing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I had that sort of realization a couple of years ago when I was at another party actually, and my friend Sally sat down and just played off the cuff without music. You know, she just seemed to be so at ease with the piano, and I thought, oh my gosh, if I'd sat down there, I'd be wanting to find my music and, you know, get all the notes right, and, you know, and I thought, oh, if only I could just let go and be more free with it, I probably would have continued at least in some form.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you said piano was your creative outlet, but looking back in the way that you were taught and the experience you had, it perhaps wasn't actually, it was a musical outlet. I understand what you're saying.
No,
about
absolutely.
Being creative, but
it was creative when I first started. I should probably sort of clarify that. When I first started, and it was just sort of a casual thing to take me away from the studies, in fact. And then I insisted on it being, you know, regimented. I think that in a way was probably, maybe that wasn't the best thing for me, because you're right. It got to a point where I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't done my practice. The teacher's going to be angry. This is just all too hard. Why am I focusing so much on this when I want to study and become a lawyer? And that was part of it as well.
Mm.
So you're right. It went from being creative to something that was a chore.
Yes.
And that I felt that, well, if I'm not going to be that concert pianist, I'm not going to bother at all. And that was very bad attitude. I know that now, but you know,
but
you look
not,
back.
But to be honest, it's not that uncommon as well. And it really depends so much on the teacher. So look, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of teachers that are going to be listening to this. What would you say to them in regard to what they could do maybe to keep kids playing?
I think the most important thing is while you are a teacher, it's important to listen and learn as well, and that students, you'd be surprised at how much students know actually where they want to go with the music, and they might say, hey, I want to play this piece, and it might not be on the curriculum, but give it a go. Let them explore a bit, because I think that music is a joy, and it's as I said, a creative outlet. And if you can just be a bit more flexible and realize that it's their journey, not yours, I think it will be a wonderful outcome, and it will generate itself. It will generate so much pleasure for everyone involved.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much for joining me, Tiffany.
My pleasure.
See you later.
Bye, Tim.
Can you see what I mean about how important this approach is? I mean, let's get really serious for a second, really real. Is there a point to teaching if your student studies for years and years and years and then just quits and never plays again? isn't all that time, money, and effort wasted? Now, some would argue, no, it's not, because the research says, you know, they will have become perhaps more organized or more disciplined or been better at their studies and things. Sure, I get that. But isn't it a real tragedy if they learn and they seem to be enjoying it and they get to a high level and then they'd simply never play again? To me, it's just so sad and something that I really hope that we're all pretty sad about and we all want to help stop happening, right? And I'm not talking about kids that, you know, come to your studio for 6 months or even a year and quit after that. You know, that's not what I'm really talking about, because that will happen. We all know that that happens. But it's those kids or students or adults or whoever it is that study for years and years and years and then they stop and they never play again. That's what I really want to keep in mind today. So let's talk. What do I actually mean about a creative approach? Well, let's talk about what a non-creative approach is, in my opinion. So a non-creative approach to piano teaching is one that's based on reading, often from the very first lesson. Out comes a method book. That is what middle C looks like. Let's play it and count and hold it for four beats. A non-creative approach to me is one that's mainly focused on traditional repertoire from the Baroque to the 20th century. We are so lucky as piano teachers to have so much repertoire out there. You know, it's not the same for accordion or bagpipes, I'm sure. But for piano, we have so much repertoire. But so many of us only use a very small amount of that and continuously rehash pieces as well. Now, there's nothing wrong with having your favorite pieces. I've got mine as well. But to break out into different styles, different genres, different composers, I think makes things at least a little bit more creative. A non-creative approach to me progresses through exam grades or repertoire for festivals in ever increasingly hard music, to the point where the student is always just hanging on for dear life as things get harder. Make it through the next exam, start the next exam after that, or the preparation for it. And really, that's their life of music. Some would call it being on the exam express. It's relatively common in the UK and Australia, whose music education is based heavily on exam boards. I've got nothing against exam boards, of course. I think they're absolutely brilliant and they have a great purpose and use as long as they're used in the right way. Interestingly enough, I've got a video coming out of an interview I did with Paul Harris from the UK. It'll be coming out soon in the blog. And he talks about how important it is to stop making things harder for students and let them play more and more at the same level to give them confidence and ability and strength and understanding at that level. I think that's really important, and it's why I'm very pro things like the 40-piece challenge, where students are learning many, many pieces each year at all different levels, including the hard level that they might be trying to break through. Finally, a non-creative approach to me is one that makes no attempt to help students learn music that they want to learn. And I think in today's piano studio, that's almost a criminal offense and one that is destined to cause problems for you as teachers. I think one of the simplest ways to build rapport and to really make connections with your students and help them understand and make relevant what they're learning in their piano lessons is to help them learn music that they want to learn. And I talk about that in more depth in my Teen Teaching Toolkit, which is a free ebook that's available on my website. You can just type that into the search box if you'd like to find it. Okay, so let's get on to my five reasons to get more creative in your studio this year. We've had a bit of a chat about the problems. Let's now talk about the real reasons, the five key reasons that you should go for more creative teaching. Reason number one, students love it. It's fun. As I've just mentioned, it creates rapport and connection with your students instantly. Okay, they will love the fact that you're going a little bit outside the box and you're exploring things. You're going to stuff up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to laugh at yourself. You're going to laugh at them. You're going to laugh together. Being creative means that you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And this is completely different to when you send your students home with Bergmuller's Ballade in C minor, that one in 3/8, and you know that they're going to struggle with that left-hand part. You know, we all know things like that are going to happen. When you get creative, anything can happen, and that's where the fun comes into it. Ultimately, too, think about what happens when your students love things that they're doing. Think about any of your teenage students who love YouTube tutorials. They will spend hours and hours and hours and hours, right? Banging away at a piece of music that's often way too hard for them, but they will continue at it and they'll go and they'll practice and practice and practice and practice. Like, I cannot believe the amount of practice some of my students do when they get onto a YouTube tutorial of something that they really want to learn. It is phenomenal. Why are they doing it? Because they love the piece, they've got a connection with it, and they really want to play it. So let's help make those connections. Let's get creative and let's help the students love it. Let's get fun. All right. So that's reason number one. Reason to get creative is students love it. Okay, reason number two, it's going to keep students playing. You know, as I was mentioning at the beginning, there's one thing I've come to learn in talking to lapsed adult piano students is that if they never learn to play by ear or create music, when lessons stop, everything stops. Think about how you can encourage your students right from the beginning to use their ear to be able to play melodies that they hear off the radio or that you play to them or that you sing to them or that they sing or that they can just sit down and have some simple ideas about what they can do to make up music at the piano. These are the kinds of things that are going to keep students playing well into the future, and it's what I am very, very passionate about. That's reason number two. It's going to keep students playing. Reason number three, it broadens their experience. If we're very focused on one method of teaching, for example, a reading-based approach, then students will only experience that very narrow experience of music education. And in actual fact, in my opinion, reading is only one part of a musical experience and probably one of the smaller and later parts. Many of you will know the music learning theory approach and many others, Orff, Kadai, Dalcroze to some extent, all advocate this concept of teaching that doesn't start with reading, that starts with patterns and singing and clapping and tapping and things that get the body and the person engaged in music without having to look at dots on a page. Creative approaches do exactly the same thing. When you throw in some kind of improvising activity, perhaps based on some scales that they're learning, it's going to broaden their experience. It's going to give them more variety. Perhaps you're going to explore some things in different styles. Not everything has to be at the bench either. You can do many, many activities, and you'll see in my freebie download, I talk about some of the other resources you can use off the bench. So games you can play. Rhythm exercises you can do with and without equipment or books or backing tracks, or, you know, there is just so much that can be done, and it just creates so much broader, more of a broader experience for students. So that's reason number three, really broadens their musical experience at the piano and not at the piano. Reason number four, it deepens their knowledge. Those of you who have heard me speak about pop music teaching will know the strong connections that I make, and I'm very eager to encourage people to understand, between the chordal-based nature of pop music and the chordal-based nature of all the other music that they're learning. Right from Baroque through classical and romantic to 20th century, less so the atonal and serial compositions. Being creative deepens their knowledge because students start to understand the construction of music a little bit more. So if they're learning the 12-bar blues and they're getting creative with a blues scale, they are starting to understand the way that other music that they might be learning through reading is constructed. So when they get to that Piano Adventures boogie or blues, they already have an understanding of it because you have been creative in your teaching and you've given them that experience previously about the blues chord progression and the blues scale. So they can start seeing it in their music. It helps with their reading, helps with their understanding, and it helps them also be a little bit more creative when they're reading music, because they could maybe add a little intro. Maybe they could improvise in the middle section or add an outro or change it up somehow with confidence, because you've opened that door to them to allow them to be more creative. And sometimes that's one of the most important aspects, right? We've really got to make sure that students know that we encourage this. And one of the best ways to do that is to model it. So I love modeling to my students how I, when I find a song that I like, often it is a song, something played on radio, I'll try and work out why I like it. What is it about the chordal construction? What is it about the harmonic movement? What is it about the repetition in the melody? Why do I like it? How's it being created? Could I create something similar myself? Could I explore that? You know, these are the kinds of curiosity factors that teach students start to explore of their own accord when you model it for them and you give them the permission. So that's reason number four. It's all about deepening their knowledge, as well as reason number three, which was broadening their genres and their experience. So the final reason I'm going to talk about today is almost more important than everything else, and that is it's more fun for you. And if you're having fun as a teacher, guess what? Your students are going to be having fun, right? And you're going to keep teaching. And you're going to teach better, you're going to teach more students, and everything will go in the right direction. It's when we get really bogged down doing the same old thing week after week, we're correcting the same mistakes with the same students. Now, this is when music teaching becomes an incredible drag, or can do. What's the best solution for that? What's the magic pill? Well, it's really easy. It's just doing something a little bit out of the ordinary, something you've never tried before, something creative. Sure, look, it can be a bit terrifying if you've never done it before. But hey, I'd much rather feel that little adrenaline rush in a lesson when I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, or I'm a little bit nervous about introducing something new to a student. I'd much prefer that than always doing the same old thing. You know, how boring for me, how boring for my students. My golly, the thought of teaching the same music year after year, well, I wouldn't be a piano teacher, I don't think, if I did that. So I really encourage you to step out. I know it's cliche, but step out of that comfort zone. Try something a little bit different. And the freebie that I'm going to give you, the download for this episode, are simple things you can do. They don't take a whole lot of resources or practice or anything like that, because I know everyone is short of time. You don't have to spend hours preparing for things. You can just try a few little tricks just to get students opening up and just to try yourself to see what it's like. Dip your toe in the water, as I might say. And I think the thrill you get when you see how much your student is learning and enjoying something, it just makes everything worthwhile. You don't have to revolutionize your teaching, and it doesn't have to be hard to be creative. Let's just talk through a few kind of things that you could do. And I've mentioned a couple of them already, but I'll just do a quick summary, right? Being creative can be as simple as just expanding the styles of music you explore. If you've never really ventured into teaching students by lead sheets, then that's a really creative activity. It's brilliant, actually, because yes, they're reading a melody, but they've actually got to develop something in their left hand to go along with it. So expanding styles of music. Maybe you want to try a jazz piece that you haven't tried before that's got a little improv section with no music written, and you've got to work out how to teach that. Maybe it's about trying a 20th century work that you've found that sounds kind of cool, but it's kind of weird and you've never tried it before. That's a really simple way of getting a little bit more creative in your teaching. What about allowing students to create intros and outros and experiment in their pieces with some of the ideas in the music? One of our discussions in the forums in the Inner Circle recently mentioned the ANZCA exam system. That's ANZCA, Australia and New Zealand Cultural Arts. They have a really modern piano exam system that encourages students to do this actually in their exam pieces. Create an intro, create an outro, funk it up, do something fun, do something different. That's the kind of stuff that we want to encourage in our students. And it doesn't have to be all that difficult. It's not going to work in every piece, of course, but you know, sometimes you could perhaps, here's another idea, take a rhythmic or melodic pattern that in a piece that they're already learning and explore it around the piano. Maybe if it's minor, make it major. Maybe if it's high, make it low. Try it in the left hand instead of the right. Try it both hands together. Try it backwards. Try it upside down. Try it standing on your head. You know, whatever it is. Take these little ideas and explore them. It's what making music, in my opinion, should be all about. So you could try playing a piece, I know, in a different way. You could go faster or slower, louder, softer. You could say, like, play this like it's floating on the top of the sea, or play it like it's scary or like you're scared. Using these metaphors and analogies can be really creative in your teaching. So definitely consider doing that too. What about transposing? That's an incredibly useful activity for students. And if it's done in a practical way, which, let's face it, if you're a pianist and you have to transpose something on the fly, up a semitone or a tone, you don't have time to sit down and rewrite it like you're doing a theory exam. You've just got to kind of work out how to do it on the fly, right? That's creative. Try it out with a student. It can be as simple as Mary Had a Little Lamb in some different keys or starting on various keys. Try it out. Get them to use their ears to find out whether the transposition's correct. What about something simple, playing scales in a rhythm that's made up by the student? Maybe you clap a few rhythms first, or maybe you say some words, turn that into a rhythm and play the scale along with it. Or what about adding a simple tonic dominant vamp under a student's scale and then teaching them how to do that? This is something actually I've done in a number of workshops with teachers, and it's great fun. And I've got some videos about how you can actually do that also in the inner circle area. And then as you get more confident, you can explore more composing and improvising sessions. You could explore more playing by ear, getting students to bring in a pop song that they'd really like to learn, and helping them actually set aside a lesson, just write it off, write off a lesson to do something creative like, okay, you want to learn this piece, let's play it on the radio. Great. Let's go grab it up on YouTube. Let's which bit you want to learn. Let's go to that section and let's listen to it. And let's see if we can find some of the notes on the piano. Let's see if we can play it. What a fantastically fun, creative activity that you're doing together. It's going to build that rapport. It's going to make connections and they're going to love it. You could also, as you get more confident, unpack more ingredients when they're learning pieces and preparing ingredients before they learn pieces. So if you can see that there's a very regular pattern or something in a piece of music before they even get the music in front of them, help them explore that little element of the music. And that's the simultaneous learning approach that Paul Harris has developed. And maybe as you get more confident, you can use more technology too, because that's a great way to add elements of creativity and opportunities for creativity in a lesson. So let's do a quick recap of these five reasons that I think everyone should be really considering creativity in their lessons. So number one reason, students love it. Number two, it's going to keep them playing, hopefully, for the rest of their lives. It's going to broaden their experience. It's going to deepen their knowledge. That's reason number four. And reason number five, it's more fun for you as a teacher. And I hope that with those five reasons, you're nodding your head and you're going, yep, either that's why I already do this stuff that Tim talked about, or you know what, I'm ready to try this out. So I want to finish with an action step today, something that I want you to actually go away and do to really make the most out of the time you've spent listening to me today. I'm also really conscious of overwhelm. So I don't want people to leave this episode and go, oh, you know, it's all too much. He's said too many things. It's too hard. Okay, it's not about that. What we've got to do for this action step is decide on just five things you'd like to do to get more creative in your lessons and allocate those five things to five students who you're going to try them out with this month. Now, the five things that you'd like to do to get more creative, you're going to find a list of 20 of them, as I say. Maybe there'll be even more by the time I finish writing it. At least 20 on the download that you can find at timtopham.com/episode73. So check out the list, and then I want you to choose five of those things, and I want you to allocate one to each of one of your students. If you've only got a couple of students, then just choose two and do one with each of your students. If you've got 50, then you're just going to try this out with five students. On the download for today's lesson, I've actually got a space for your action plan. So there's a space to write down the students' names and write what activity you're going to do with them. And you can have all of this on the download that you can print out and have in your lesson for the following week or the following few weeks, when I do hope that you really give this a great shot. Okay, so I really hope you've enjoyed this episode, just setting the scene for this month's look at creativity in the piano studio. And we've got much more great content coming up for you in both blogs and also podcasts. And I might just throw in a webinar there as well that you can jump on and ask questions. So quick reminder, if you'd like a transcript of this episode or you'd like to get the download, or you want to have a look at all the links or things that we've talked about today, then all you need to do is head to timtopham.com/episode73. And don't forget, you can also claim $100 off an Inner Circle membership just by heading to that page. There's a coupon code there for you. I would love to have you in my community where you can get far more information about all these activities that I'm talking about today. So with that, I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great week.
We'll conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.